Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have a special show today. We're going to focus on only three stories. The first has to do with the border and how Biden is flooding the border, claiming, using a loophole to do it, the plan is to bring in 100 million migrants, I guarantee. So they'll fundamentally distort the demographics of the United States forever. This is a part of the great displacement theory that the Democrats like to knock, but they're implementing right and left, bringing in as many migrants in as short a time as they possibly can. Then two other stories. We have the videos finally released from the Paul Pelosi hammer attack in San Francisco. It's taken him 3 months to do it. I think I can explain exactly why. I believe, and I'm going to give you the reasons why, these videos are fabrications. That the story of Pelosi with David DePape was so sordid, so disgusting. They've even enlisted the San Francisco DA to be a participant in the cover-up, and they have fabricated both of these videos. I'll explain to you why. And I have two experts here to aid and abet with regard to both discussing the Pelosi videos, but also what happened in Memphis. We have the videos from the Memphis attacks, too. They're all over the internet. If you want to follow this and you're only listening on Revolution Radio, until you have the opportunity to see the video version of this, which I'm creating today to post on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, just go to the internet, even while you're listening to me, and check out the Paul Pelosi videos. There's two. There's one that's supposed to be David DePape breaking in the back with a hammer, pounding on the glass, and it's obviously pretty resistant. He has a hard time. Then there's the other, the police body cam coming up to the door where Paul is standing there in his underwear. He's holding a drink in his left hand. He and DePape, who's standing right beside him, seem perfectly calm and collected. And then DePape wrestles the hammer out from the hand of Paul Pelosi and goes after him. We don't see him actually hit Paul, but we do see what appears to be a pell-mell thereafter. I'm going to invite both Danny and John Carman, who will also be here to address not only what I'm explaining, my take on the Pelosi videos, but what's gone on in Memphis. Well, we have two videos. There are actually four that have been released. Well, we're going to look at videos related to the initial stop, the reason for which remain to me completely obscure, and then the more violent attack that occurred subsequently after they apprehended him when he sought to flee. Danny is going to have a lot to tell us about this. I think you're going to find it utterly fascinating. But I want to begin with the border business, which is being called out as bullshit. Biden's new border policy using a loophole to fast-track migrants. The Department of Homeland Security program to allow migrants into the country who would otherwise be expelled if they cross illegally is not the success the Biden admin claims, according to a former senior official who spoke with the Daily Caller. President Biden announced January 5th the expansion of Title 42, a Trump-era order to expel certain illegals to mitigate the spread of COVID, including Venezuelans, Cuban, Nicaraguans, and Haitians. The plan allows for 30,000 of those nationalities to enter the country using parole authority, permitting them to stay in the country for a period of 2 years so long as they have a sponsor, and permits migrants who otherwise would be expelled under Title 42 to use CBP-1, that's a Border Patrol, a mobile application to book an appointment at a port of entry to quickly enter the country, and other facilitating the migrants entered. These expanded border enforcement measures are working, said Alexander Mayorkas, who may be the very first member of the Biden administration to be impeached by the Republican-controlled House. It is incomprehensible that some states who stand to benefit from these highly effective enforcement measures are seeking to block them and cause more irregular migration at our southern border. Former Deputy DHS Secretary Ken Cuccinelli, however, called Mayorkas' statement bullshit. Bullshit. Numbers are not down, Cuccinelli said. They're at record levels. Even if they went down from those record levels, in the absence of the previous month record, it's still record level. They're literally importing an entire state of the United States of America every couple of months worth of people. We can't absorb this. And they know that. And that tells you their intent is to undermine what anybody grew up thinking of as America. U.S. Customs and Border Protection recorded more than 2.3 million migrant encounters in fiscal year 2022. More than 250,000, that's a quarter of a million in December alone, making it the highest month on record. They're using people, much like Obama did with DACA, it's creating a loophole you can drive a truck through. What security comes from this? He can't identify any security. He can't identify any reduction in the flow of illegals coming to the country that he won't admit. Yeah, right, he's facilitating it. The guy's an official government human tracker. He's talking about Mayorkas. He's talking about the head of DHS. Retired deputy patrol agent in charge of the El Paso station, Clay Thomas, echoed, Mayorkas isn't providing the full picture of what's happening at the southern border. Everything's not going great, Thomas said. This has just been implemented. There's no metric to determine whether it's a success or not. To determine success or not, you have to give it time, a period of time to show a metric of success. I would assume that would be no less than 6 months to be able to look and see how it's working, a problem to solve it. To call this a success this early on after something just being implemented is unreasonable, Thomas said. More than 7,500 Cubans, Nicaraguans, and Haitians have so far been approved through the parole program, according to CNN. That number is separate from those admitted through CBP-1. Former acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan believes the process to admit these who would otherwise be expelled is illegal. They are legalizing otherwise illegal activities and then claiming victory. So as the numbers of those illegally entering in between the ports of entry significantly recede, watch how the numbers at our ports of entry increase in kind. It's an unlawful, perverse shell game which serves to mask the crisis rather than address it in any meaningful way. They haven't put forth a single policy to deter or de-incentivize the flow, nor to insert integrity back into a broken system through ending of catch and release. They simply transferred their massive release strategy to the points of entry, Morgan said. DHS has been secretly using CBP-1 to admit migrants of more than 100 nationalities into the country for months. Center for Immigration Studies Senior National Security Fellow Todd Bensman told the Daily Caller after making the observation in Mexico before the program launched. It was entirely predicted and predictable that they would do this, and it's an illusion, because for every immigrant who did not cross illegally, one got through this program anyway. So for however many they feel like they would do reducing, just as many, if not more, are actually being crossed in under this legally questionable new alternative immigration admission system that they've created. DHS, unsurprisingly, did not respond to their request for comments. Danny, you're here. I'd like to have your take. You live in California. I cannot believe what's going on here. I mean, this is the wanton destruction of the United States by an immigration program that's all being deliberately contrived to destroy the demographics of America. Your thoughts?
Well, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, this is really reminds me of a hybrid of the clergy plan. You know, in the full scheme of things, you know, we have so many people passing away from the vax, from the shot, whatever you want to call it. And this is obviously a globalist plan to destroy the United States and replace all those that pass away from the shot with new Democrat voters. They're just basically changing the power structure in the United States. And if we're not going to vote the way that they want us to vote, they're just simply going to bring in new people that will vote the way that they're told to vote. And that's pretty much the way I see it, sir.
Very, very good. We have John just joining us, and while he may or may not have heard what I've had to say, I have no doubt he has thoughts about it. John, we're talking about three and only three stories today. The first is about the border and how they're flooding the country with these migrants, and they're pretending they're taking measures to reduce it, but it's obvious they're not. They're adding the equivalent of the population of a whole state every 3 months. Your thoughts about this massive plan to change the demographics of America permanently?
Yeah, I'm glad I caught you just now. I just got finished with another thing. My computer was running bad, and I had to get it caught up. I was just describing something very similar to what you were just talking about. See, I work at the border. Of course, my background was Secret Service, San Diego PD, private investigator, U.S. Mint, and then Customs at the Border, 15 years. And typically, from San Diego to Brownsville, let's say it's 3,000 miles, they have a minimum of 3,000 border agents, like Border Patrol, outside the ports of entry. Customs handles ports of entry, immigration for passports and visas and all kinds of permits. But they need triple that, 9,000. That's just at the southern border. So if I was in charge, you know, if Trump or somebody important was listening, you know, I'd say, yeah, we're going to triple that and make it 9,000. But you know what? I'm generous. I'm going to make it a rounded off 10,000 at the border, three shifts, primary, secondary, and backup. That's three levels. So if you get guys involved in arrests, and stuff at the border, they've got people to transport, arrest, you got backups to move in. It's a rotating thing. Three shifts, 24 hours at the southern border. It's happening at the northern border too, folks. and they don't want you to know that. It's always CIA ops. Look at the southern border, bad guys, drugs, guns, fugitives, terrorists, and now children, stuff like that. The northern border is Canada. Oh, the Great White North. They're all friendly to us. Well, yeah, they may be, but they still come across the border from up at the northern border areas as well. They don't want you to know that. So it's a decoy. Oh, look over there, the grassy knoll. You know, that kind of thing. Anyway, I can go into more detail. I wasn't sure how far.
Well, John, yeah, yeah. And they're not requiring any of the migrants to be vaxxed, so they're not going to suffer the infertility and sterility that the Americans who are being vaxxed. We had a CDC member say what they plan to do with the resistors is to get rid of all the white people. I mean, this is a disgusting. They're saying out loud the quiet part.
Yeah, that's Biden. Biden is making a thing about that as if he is a the great white hope to the blacks. And I just did a dissertation about the shooting of Tyree Nichols by five black officers who murdered him.
John, we're going to make that's going to be our third story today, and I especially want you and Danny on that. So no, it's coming. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was using some visual aids here, like this.
Yeah, yeah, you know, handcuffs.
It doesn't take much to put the cuff on the wrist right here.
Right.
There's a tendon right there. You press on it, you're cuffed. That's it. But yet some people without training want to open it and go this way. I said, no, that's not a trained person.
Yeah.
And once you get them cuffed, they're safe. That's it.
Yeah.
You stop.
John, we're going to go into that in detail. I just wanted to open with a story because it shows how much bullshit we're being given about a major issue here, the flooding of the U.S. border. Now I want to explain, I think we're also being played with these Pelosi videos. Normally, they're released right away. They took 3 months, and I'm going to explain why I'm convinced that's because they had to fake them. Here we have early on, or I'm going to give background to this. Early on, police dispatch audio. Paul Pelosi, when calling cops, said he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and he is a friend. So we had a contradiction right off the bat with Pelosi making his 911 call. Yeah, John, just stand by and I'll bring you and Danny in. I need to cover. Then we have the reporting person stating there's a male. He's going to wait for his wife. He doesn't know who the male is. Advises his name is David. He's a friend. PR reporting person sounds somewhat confused. Later in the day, the FBI visited a Berkeley home linked to DePap, which neighbors call the hippie collective. And you can see it's rather ramshackle. Earlier, an ex-partner of the DePap described him, the man she raised 2 sons with, as mentally ill. Gypsy Taub, who called the news station from the California Institute for Women, where she was incarcerated, described an incident from when they were together, during which he disappeared for a year. He came back in very bad shape. He thought he was Jesus. He was constantly paranoid, thinking people were after him, said Taub, who separated from DePap 7 years ago. Elsewhere, Twitter's new boss, Elon Musk, was severely criticized and forced to delete a baseless conspiracy theory about the attack where he tweeted. And look how innocuous is this tweet. There is a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye. He made the post while sharing an article that claimed without evidence that the House Speaker's husband met his attacker at a gay bar. Here we have comments, some of the comments taking place right off the bat. Biden is a fraud, tweeted. The police verified they were both in their underwear attacking each other with a hammer. Paul Pelosi's lover, David DePap, a Berkeley Green Party member, is very likely the unidentified person who was with Paul when he got busted for a DUI. A lot more what is going on than meets the eye. Dick Turpin and police seem to have dropped the assailant broke into the house tag. The assailant was in the house but did not break in. What does that tell us? The white hats. I want to hammer this home. The break-in story is beyond far-fetched. The Moseys have security up the yin-yang under normal circumstances. This was likely a drug-fueled party scene or a lover's spat. Suspicious voter tweets. Definitely in this cockamamie story in the press is ridiculous. Consider this. One story said the alarm went off and the police were doing a welfare check. This story has so many holes it was probably concocted by the corrupt, inept FBI. Live free or die. There was no forcible entry into the house or Paul. Dorothea, 76. Broken glass was found outside the house, not inside the home. Breaking in would cause the glass to be inside the house. The man found, yeah, Paul, just hold on. John, hold on. The man found only in his underwear when Paul Pelosi was also in the car when Pelosi was arrested for DUI, and some sites claim the guy's a male prostitute, and the hammer they were fighting over is a sex toy. The 911 call has been released, and Paul P. sounds confused per reports. John Gall. The confusion in the reports of the hammer, because it's a 24-ounce dildo called the hammer, sources confirm. Nick Fasciato. Pelosi got pounded by a prostitute with a plastic penis. Live free or die. Continuing. Let it be me. His backside was forcibly entered. You can bet your undies on that, Mr. Freedom Fighter. Eric, can you blame him? Naked Hammer Man sounds more appealing than Denture Malfunction Nancy. Anaconda, gross. Ha ha ha. Fred L. Nasty Nancy could be the cause of erectile dysfunction worldwide. John Mansville. Little Polly been getting into a lot of trouble lately while Mama Piglosi away. John Campbell. David DePap was a nudist, so maybe underwear was his way of wearing armor. Delta Blues. Misidentified as a nudist if underwear is involved. Now here's a comment that's a pretty good summing up. Of early reports, no break-in. 911 calls for over a half an hour. Paul is in underwear, assailant in underwear. Both or only one had a hammer. Assailant took hammer from Paul and hit him with police present. Police were only doing a welfare check in this gated community with private security. Broken window is from inside, his glass is on outside. He thinks a man like Paul who hangs out in gay bars and brings young men home late at night, as attested to by neighbors, had a spat with his date. His date is a radical leftist. His date is not a MAGA man. His date is registered green and lives in Berkeley in a nudist community supporting BLM. The nudist ex-lover Paul Pelosi, moreover, is a female pedophile who harassed a boy 14 and bought sex dolls for their sons to use. Here's a hammer. I found it on Amazon.com. 94.33. Adult sex toys love hammer. Pink round vibrating hammer, not including batteries. Now you can see how substantial this is. And if you were hit over the head with this, with the batteries, it would like being hit over the head with a heavy flashlight, which appears to be how JonBenet Ramsey, by the way, was inadvertently killed by her mother Patsy after she went to bed and Patsy got upset and whacked her. When the body was eventually found, it was all wrapped very, very carefully with loving care, and a little heart was inscribed in her palm. There was no one other than her mother would have done that. We can turn to some preliminary thoughts from both Paul and from John and from Danny. John, go ahead. These are just preliminary. I've got a couple more segments leading up to the video. I'm laying out the foundation for why I'm convinced these videos are fake.
Right. Well, the only thing I go is what on the video I did see and the dispatcher's response to the RP reporting person. That's police trained. I was a police officer in San Diego, so I'm state certified, post certified. I've been through all this stuff. I know the training. I actually worked at the U.S. Mint up in San Francisco, so I know the lifestyles, the Tenderloin District and places like that, and what circulates, lesbian communities, all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, I've seen them. But to break it down just from the law enforcement aspect alone, once I saw the video and the dispatch conversation with the RP, he was pretending. Let's assume I get on the phone and I feel unsafe and I hit 911 right away. And you can't hang up because it's already gone through. It's already given a location. That's a welfare check right away. And then they get on the line. Are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Well, who's with you? Or is there something going on? They're getting into a conversation. They're trying to establish if he's okay or not. After all of that, the dispatcher should have still made sure that the unit was dispatched to the location to do a check to welfare. That's normal procedure. Once they got to the door, somehow the door got opened, and these people are standing more than 10 feet away. I think you and I already discussed that yesterday. 3 feet is like you're opening the door, yes, come on in, or what's going on? That's 3 feet. You get beyond 10, 15 feet away, and you've got another individual. I was going to grab a prop of some sort. I don't have any, but I got cuffs I was going to show you. But the point is, once the guy had his hand on something, it looked like a hammer or not, doesn't matter. That's where the cop should have pulled his gun out and said, drop it. That's it. Instead, you saw Pelosi allegedly trying to maintain some sort of control, which is not normal. And then the other guy's holding on to it. That's not normal. In other words, the cops caught him in the middle of holding something that could be used as a weapon. That's me talking as a cop.
John, yeah, yeah. And mind you, I'm going to show the videos and we're going to talk about them in detail. Danny, do you have any observation about these preliminary reports I've been citing to call in to the desk and all that?
Well, sir, I tend to agree with you. I think this is completely like a setup after the fact. But to attest to what John said about, you know, police procedure, you know, as soon as that door opened, and you're on that call under that pretense, and as soon as you see them struggle, as soon as I seen the hammer in the hand and any sort of a struggle like that, I mean, I would have gone straight in, probably like John said, at gunpoint. It just kind of depends on the situation. And I would have, you know, immediately removed that hammer from the situation really quickly. I mean, he would act on that weapon immediately. He wouldn't stand back. He wouldn't be in silence. And on the video, what troubles me is I don't hear any police commands. I don't hear anything like, hey, drop it, put that down. He's got a hammer. You know, anything that comes, no emotion coming from the police voice at all on what they can obviously see taking place. It's almost like they're stunned. They're in disbelief. And they're just, there's no verbal commands at all. There's no talking. There's no nothing. It's very strange video to me, sir.
Very good. Well, we're gonna get to the video, John. You're gonna have obviously much more. But what you're telling me already is that both of you see this video that was raised is not consistent with normal police performance, and it ought to have been very different. In other words, they did a piss poor job of making this fake video, and I'm going to give more reasons how we know it's fake. Let me add further background here as we move forward, because there's so much we know already about what's going on based on past reports or hoping we already forgot. Paul Pelosi, attacker, lived in a Berkeley hippie commune. They're still making it out, by the way, today. They've got what's supposed to be a statement by Dave DePapp, who says he was a right-winger and that he was going to threaten Nancy and all that, which is complete bullshit. Dave DePapp, the man accused of attacking Paul Pelosi with a hammer, lived inside a school bus parked outside his former love's home interest in the weeks leading up to the attack, according to his neighbors. DePapp's neighbors said he slept back and forth between a broken-down camper van and a school bus parked outside pro-nudist activist Gypsy Tubbs' home in Berkeley. According to DePapp's neighbors, Margarita and Julio Gonzalez, he used to live inside the house with Taub and her family before staying off and on in the buses parked outside. And here you got Michael Schellenberger, who's been all over this, tweeting in the driveway. There's a broken-down camper van. On the street is a yellow school bus, which neighbors said DePapp occasionally stayed in. Both are filled with garbage, typical of such structures in homeless encampments. DePapp, who shares two children with Taub, was in a romantic relationship with a pro-nudist activist before she married someone else. DePapp served as best man at Taub's nude wedding, which ultimately led to Taub's arrest for being naked in public. And here we have a photograph of David DePape recording the nude wedding of Gypsy Taub outside of City Hall on December 19, 2013 in San Francisco. According to DePape's neighbor, Ryan DeCosta, there was a huge fight at the Taub-DePape compound one day after Taub's wedding. DeCosta said he wasn't surprised at all learning that DePape was a man accused of breaking into Belusi's residence and attacking Paul. I wasn't surprised because another crazy story is coming from someone in that house, DeCosta said. They're always toxic and always up to something. They're always on the news and trying to be activists. They always want to be in the spotlight. A closer look at Taub's residence, the buses DePape reportedly slept in, revealed an affinity for left-leaning political causes, which stands in contrast to attempts to link the attacker to mega extremists. As Breitbart reported, for example, an American flag with rainbow colors and marijuana leaves can be seen in front of the house. Looking closer, a handwritten Black Lives Matter sign can be seen hanging in one of the home's windows. Further, another sign posted in a different window reads, "Berkeley stands united against hate," which refers to a Berkeley-based organization that aims to stop the hate and implicit biases that are a dangerous threat to the safety and civility of our neighborhoods, towns, and cities. A closer look at the van parked in Taub's driveway showed more signs of support for left-leaning political causes. Here again, Michael Schellenberger. Neighbors described DePape, a homeless drug addict with a politics that was, until recently, and really he means now, these media reports that appear to have no basis whatsoever, left-wing, but of secondary importance to his psychotic and paranoid behavior. Another. And as I discovered yesterday, DePape lived with a notorious local nudist in a Berkeley home, complete with a Black Lives Matter sign in the window and an LGBT rainbow flag emblazoned with a marijuana symbol hanging from a tree. Another sticker had a sarcastic dictionary entry for the word liberal, defining it as one who is generous, one who favors greater freedom in political or religious matters, one free from prejudice or narrow thinking. The sticker said antonyms of liberal would be stingy, mean, bigoted, or conservative. The camper van also had an advertisement for natural addiction treatment hanging over it, which, according to reports, advertises the use of psychedelic drug ibogaine that the DePape family brought back to the U.S. from Mexico. Another neighbor told reporters the DePape family are very radical activists. They seem very left. They are all about Black Lives Matter, gay pride, but they're very detached from reality, said a neighbor who identified as Trish. They have called the cops several times on the neighbors, including us, claiming we're plotting against them. It's really weird to see they're willing to be so aggressive towards someone else who's also a lefty. Let me get your reaction, John, just to those description of the DePape setting. And do you see anything there suggesting this guy would be a Trump supporter, for example?
No, and I was thinking about it. I worked at the U.S. Met, 88 Fifth Street, right off Market. I'm familiar with the Tenderloin and all those other areas. I mean, I used to jog across the Golden Gate Bridge, and you'd come across all these different types of people. Yeah, I mean, as a former police officer, I could see all the indicators. Yeah, maybe the guy's a nudist. Maybe he's got the obvious liberal flag out there, which is like a welcome type sign for other people like-minded. That's what that is. Yeah, they do have people like that. There's some really crazy people up in San Francisco. And you try to stay away from people like that. But unfortunately, they're no different than some of the slums in other parts of other countries where they're run by Democrats. And I already said it earlier today. All you have to do is look for a Democrat that's running a city, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, New York. You know, just go on and on. That's where the crime will be. That's where the problems are, and they're trashing those areas. That's where the murder rates, the drugs, all this stuff's going to go up. It's outrageous. I mean, it's pretty obvious what I see. You know, if I was going to a call there, yeah, I'd be prepared mentally.
Danny, you can find now all kinds of statements attributed to David DePape claiming he broke in that he wanted to hold Paul hostage until Nancy arrived, that he was outraged with the Democrats. I find all that inconceivable. Your thoughts, given the background of what's been presented here so far, is any of that reasonable?
I don't believe any of it, sir. None of it. I mean, from even looking at the evidence, I'm kind of like you. I'm an evidence guy. And when you see the glass is broken outward, not inward, you kind of see this back and forth at the door with the hammer, which I think that was staged. I'm not even sure that was real at all. And the way that was, the way it played back and forth, you know, I don't believe any of it. I think the whole thing is a concocted story. If that event was real and they were really in that house in the first place, because, you know, the video could be shot after the fact in any way. I mean, we don't even know. It's not, there's no time stamp on the video. There's no date stamp on the video. But, you know, to me, it's just a concocted story to cover up something else that was going on. And I'll let anybody else guess to what that could have been. I think this would have been a really embarrassing story, the truth, if it really happened. And they just completely fabricated a story, maybe using a little bit of the suspect's background to fabricate a story that was more acceptable to put out to the public than actually what actually happened.
Yeah,
I didn't see any fear in Pelosi's face at all, even in that video. I didn't really see anything going on that, you know, he wasn't screaming or yelling. I mean, if he would have broke into the house, he would have been screaming and yelling when the police, you know, came to the door. There would have been other things that would have been taking place. So there was something else going on there, no doubt.
Danny, I couldn't agree more. We're going to look at the video, but in the meanwhile, here's some remarks that seem to be a whole lot closer to the truth. One is entitled "The Awful Truth." Paul Pelosi was drunk again and in a dispute with a male prostitute early Friday morning. Paul Pelosi said he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. Yeah, right. It doesn't add up. Some on social media are questioning attack on Paul Pelosi. As San Francisco's gay bars closed at 2 a.m., two gay men met in a bar and went home together. Happens every night in the city by the bay, except one of these two men was married to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. I might disappear for telling you the truth. If I do, you'll all know why. But here's what really happened early Friday morning in San Francisco, in my humble opinion. According to San Francisco PD, RP, reporting person, stated that there's a male in the home and he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. Dispatch official said PR sounded somewhat confused. It's been a rumor for years in San Francisco that Paul Pelosi is gay. David DePapp was said to be a Castro nudist. The lunatic who allegedly assaulted Paul Pelosi is a Berkeley resident and a former Castro nudist protester and hemp jewelry maker. Sounds totally mega Republican to me, said from Twitter. Journalism is dead. Media torch for coverage of Paul Pelosi's story. Despite conflicting reports and many unanswered questions, President Biden and other Democrat Party leaders have used the assault by a hammer-wielding, apparently mentally ill, illegal alien on House Speaker Pelosi's husband to rally midterm voters, casting the violent act as an inevitable result of right-wing election denier rhetoric. And Monday afternoon, announcing attempted murder charges against 42-year-old David DePapp, San Francisco District Attorney Brooke Jenkins affirmed to reporters that prosecutors believe the attack was politically motivated. But the ideology of the suspect, an illegal alien from Canada who is a member of the far-left Green Party and lives in a dilapidated bus on the Berkeley, California property of a nudist drug abuser who supports Black Lives Matter, is all over the map, judging by purported social media postings, and the circumstances of the incident are still under investigation. Nevertheless, establishment media immediately jumped aboard the Democrats' narrative. Journalism is dead, wrote Daily Wire CEO Jeremy Boring. 20 years ago, every major publication would have had boots on the ground chasing the facts in the Paul Pelosi story, questioning the narrative, interviewing everyone, even tangentially connected, demanding transparency and the release of calls and footage. On Friday, Biden said during a speech to Democrats in Pennsylvania, the reports that the same chant, "Where's Nancy?" was used by this guy they have in custody, used on January 6th, the attack on the U.S. Capitol. Biden says, "This is despicable. There's no place in America. There's too much violent, political violence, too much hatred, too much vitriol. And what makes us think one party can talk about stolen elections, COVID being a hoax, that it's all a bunch of lies, and not affect people who may not be so well balanced? What makes us think that it's not going to alter the political climate? Enough is enough is enough." Confident that he knew what happened, NBC News reporter Ben Collins said in a segment on MSNBC that he has read the great historians on authoritarianism, and Elon Musk deleted tweet Sunday morning suggesting an alternative narrative was how you lose your democracy. The new Twitter owner was responding to a tweet by Hillary Clinton linking to an LA Times story about Pelosi's alleged attacker. The Times said DePap had been drifting further into the world of far-right conspiracies, anti-Semitism, and hate, according to a Times review of his online accounts. Hillary wrote, "The Republican Party and its mouthpieces now regularly spread hate and deranged conspiracy theories. It is shocking, but not surprising, that violence is a result. As citizens, we must hold them accountable for their words and the actions that follow." However, aside from reports that Pab is mentally ill, his ex said he once came home thinking he was Jesus, there are questions about the two websites attributed to Pab, which the Times described are filled with right-wing conspiracies, anti-Semitism, and hate. The site GodIsLoving.wordpress.com and FinleyFriends.com were shut down Saturday, the Gateway Pundit reported. The only activity on the Wayback Machine was Friday and Saturday. In other words, they'd just been made up. Musk linked to an article from a blog floating the theory the incident was a drunken dispute with a male writing. There is a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye. On Twitter, many users retweeted audio of a police dispatch indicating Paul Pelosi knew BPAP. The officer said, "RP stated there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated he doesn't know who the male is, but advised that his name is David and that he is a friend." The people assumed the press was on the job, sniffing out the lies and finding the truth, so conspiracy theories just weren't plausible and barely struck, he said. Now, establishment media, aided by big tech, has embraced their new role as agents of social change. Now they both actively and through indifference run cover for the left, said Boring. Maybe it all happened about like they say, but they're certainly afraid it didn't. So best not to look into it. Move along. Meanwhile, the FBI found DePap's Berkeley home is known to neighbors as a hippie collective. Outside the home is an American flag with rainbow colors and marijuana leaves. In one window is a handwritten Black Lives Matter, another sign reading, "Berkeley stands united against hate, a local group seeking to stop the hate and implicit biases that are a dangerous threat to the safety and civility of our neighborhoods, towns, and cities." Here's Austin Pritch, reporter on Hot Mic after San Francisco police press conference regarding Paul Pelosi, on the phone with Boss. "Hey, so is this the dude that's a former nudist dude?" "Yeah, okay. Is it okay to say any of that stuff?" "Nope." In other words, being silenced. At the news conference Monday in San Francisco, the DA Jenkins said the attack appeared to be politically motivated, citing to have statements in the federal affidavit and comments during the incident indicating he was looking for House Speaker Pelosi. Jenkins said to Pap broke through a rear glass door and sneaked into Paul Pelosi's bedroom in the middle of the night while he was asleep. The DA said there was no security present at the home of the person third in line for the presidency. Police said when they arrived, they found two men struggling over a hammer. DePepe struck Pelosi at least once, they said, before being tackled by officers. Responding to a question, Jenkins said police body cam footage will be made public if it is played in a court proceeding. There's more to it. Let me continue. Pelosi home is surrounded by CCTV cameras and security detail. Unlikely anyone could break in unnoticed. The Pelosi home in San Francisco is surrounded by closed-circuit TV cameras and security detail. It would have been almost impossible for anyone to enter that house and not be noticed. David DePepe was identified by the police at the Pelosi home on early Friday at around 2:30 a.m. If an individual broke into the home of this week or the house, there surely is a surveillance system that would tell police and numerous entities the house had been broken into. There's no doubt the Pelosi home has a security system. This system likely includes motion detectors as well. Any movement during the house or broken glass would immediately be registered at the surveillance company. They in turn would notify the police of the encounter. Also, there are likely police cars circling the neighborhood where the Pelosi's live. But the police reported that Paul Pelosi made the call to police. Paul Pelosi never shared that the home was broken into. There are also questions about the event being a burglary. DePepe reportedly forced entry into a rear door, but a video from yesterday shows there was glass on the outside of the home on the stairs behind the house. If the window was broken from the outside, wouldn't the glass be on the floor inside the house? Here you can see a photograph of the glass on the outside. Attorney Harmit Dhillon shared that there were security cameras all over the neighborhood where the Pelosi lived. We're able to confirm that this is the case. There are CCTV cameras all over the Pelosi home. The U.S. Speaker of the House would not be anything but well protected. There's also a security detail at the Pelosi house, reportedly around the clock. The official story is that DePepe entered the house by forcing entry into the back door. This is implausible. He would have been captured by the CCTV cameras and most likely by motion detectors if he were near the house. If he broke into the house, cameras and alarms would most likely go off. The fact is DePepe could not have broken into the house without being noticed, but that is exactly what the official storyline says. The police state Paul Pelosi called the police, and the police did not respond to an alarm at the house, but rather to a call from Paul. We're supposed to believe DePepe make it into the Pelosi house unimpeded. No one noticed a broken door and that Paul found him, stepped into a bathroom to call the police, and then came back and fought with DePepe over a hammer, and the alarms never went off. The security detail on duty ignored the forced entry into the house through the back door. This story does not add up because the facts don't add up. The only logical explanation for David DePepe being in the house is that he was invited. Another reporter blows whistle on Paul Pelosi narrative. You won't believe what the mainstream is doing. Almost immediately after news hit that Pelosi's husband, Nancy, was assaulted in their home, the left politicized it, even though we knew nothing about the event. They were trying to use it to tarnish Republicans. With sign pointing to Democrat losing big this November, it isn't a surprise liberals would manipulate a disturbing story to push their agenda, even when they're spreading it is far from the truth. Circumstances surrounding the event are still confusing and shaky. This is in part thanks to the incompetence and possible corruption of the San Francisco Police Department, a department that is most certainly politicized by the left. There are major issues concerning this story reporters are not addressing, though. The mainstream is pushing a narrative with zero evidence, not asking real questions. Now a top reporter is explaining why. Glenn Greenwald explained there was a very simple reason that members of his profession seem unwilling to question the narrative, namely that they'd put their careers at risk, that they might be fired. It's very possible the instantly formed media narrative followed up as attacker was a mega fanatic who broke in to murder Nancy will be proven true. Right now, however, there's so many glaring doubts and holes in that story that it's just take common sense and question it. He then shared from Steve Krakenauer a few of the questions he thought media ought to be asking. Why weren't there signs of forced entry at Pelosi's home? Who was the third person who opened the door for the police? Why was Pelosi holding hammer and attack only happened after police arrived? Where is body cam, security footage? Why isn't the press asking these questions? Many online are wondering why this event between Paul and his alleged attack sounds so weird. There were no reports of forced entry at the house, so how did the man get in? Reports that Pelosi made a 911 call from the bathroom. Why did his attacker let him take a bathroom break? And many more. Some online have formed their own hypothesis, which was quickly censored and fact-checked as disinformation. Greenwald revealed reporters in the media will in no way do their job and run this story to the ground. They'll not ask these and other questions because it would make Nancy Pelosi and her family look bad. They're facing a terrible midterm election story. The story has come out at the very worst time. Democrats are scrambling to push a wildly untrue version of the event where the attacker was a known leftist and no way could be a mega supporter. But the truth doesn't matter when you're a corrupt, evil political party hell-bent on selling America to the highest bidder. Here we have now the release, just happening, of the video. At 2 a.m. Superior Court, Fraud Friday, this is the 27th, just a couple days ago, released a video of the 2 a.m. Paul Pelosi hammer attack. Here's a frame. You see Paul in his underwear. His right hand is on the hammer being held by David DePapp. There's nothing suggesting anything extraordinary there. After 30 minutes of DePapp being in the house, Pelosi was holding some type of beverage as he answered the door. Look at that. In his left hand, there is a beverage, some kind of drink. The footage comes after a San Francisco judge ordered the DA to release evidence, including the 911 audio calls, home surveillance video, and police body cam from the attack on Pelosi. San Francisco Superior Court Judge Stephen Mercy also ruled the audio recordings of a police interview with a suspected assailant, David DePapp, must be made public. It's unclear when the evidence will be unsealed. Adam Lipson, DePapp's defense attorney, objected to the release of the evidence, arguing it might embarrass client's ability to get a fair trial, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. DePapp stands accused of breaking into Pelosi's home on October 28th and carrying out a brutal hammer attack against the 82-year-old husband of former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Interestingly, the new video, more or less, matches what's still missing NBC News correspondent Miguel Almaguer reported in November. Namely, after a knock and announce, the front door was opened by Mr. Pelosi. The 82-year-old did not immediately declare an emergency or try to leave home, reported NBC. Instead, Pelosi began walking several feet back into the foyer toward the assailant and away from police. Pelosi and DePapp were reportedly alone for 30 minutes. Meanwhile, a neighbor living across from the Pelosi's who was awake when the assault took place didn't hear an alarm or anything unusual. No, not a thing. And you know, we were awake at that hour in the morning. My husband was awake. We don't even hear sirens, neighbor Sally McNulty told the Epoch Times. McNulty, who's lived in the neighborhood for 20 years, said everything was quiet around the time of the 2 a.m. attack on October 28th. This is one of the quietest streets in the city, she said. You can hear a pin drop at night. But McNulty said she doesn't recall ever hearing the Pelosi's alarm go off in the past, so she has occasionally heard others in the neighborhood. She said Paul Pelosi had no neighbors she knew of and was well-liked. Other neighbors declined to comment. Marjorie Campbell, a former neighbor of the Pelosi for 10 years, told the Daily Mail she recalled fleets of black SUVs surrounding the house around the clock when Nancy stayed there. Everyone in the neighborhood has alarms on their windows. And if glass were smashed, an alarm would sound, she told the publication. Campbell recalled her computers getting scrambled by alleged security measures to protect the congresswoman. Nancy Pelosi was at her Pacific Heights home the site of the attack back on November 2nd, while several dark SUVs were parked outside. This, of course, would be after the attack. Park Capitol Police were present, too, as were multiple San Francisco police calls. Paul Pelosi had surgery to address a skull fracture, let me emphasize, and other injuries at the Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital and Trauma Center after 42-year-old David DeBapp allegedly fractured his skull with a hammer on October 28. DeBapp pleaded not guilty to an attempted murder charge during a brief appearance in San Francisco Superior Court on November 1st. Curiouser and curiouser. Now, we have lined up the videos, and I want to get both John and Danny's comments on the videos in great detail when we look at them right after the break. Meanwhile, before we take a look at the videos, John, would you like to add additional comments?
Yeah, I've been involved in many arrests where people had a call and I would respond. And we had two suspects on either side of a vehicle with teenagers in it. And I came upon the scene and I was just talking the first couple of seconds it was going on. One guy with long hair, white guy, hippie looking biker type, leaning into the passenger side. And then we got another long haired hippie type, biker type, leaning into the driver's side. As soon as I looked at the guys in the back seat, they finally blurted out, "Help, they're robbing us." You know how fast that gun comes out of my holster? As soon as I hear the word help, right? I don't have to get on with the other terms. So immediately I took the first guy. He went down in prone position immediately. He knew what to do. And my partner had been on the other side by that time. And we arrested him. And I had contact with the driver, the guy on the outside of the driver's side before. So all kinds of circumstances would activate something in a real trained police officer, no matter what the circumstance is. And that's what I saw should happen before. And yeah, it all looks strange. Things can you look strange, but you have to break it down carefully. And I think it was reference to the Castro nudist thing. Castro is the name of the district in San Francisco. That's the Tenderloin District. That's what they're referring to.
Very good.
So in case nobody knew that.
Yeah.
But
let me say the district attorney has gone so far in covering up as to claim that there's no evidence that Paul Pelosi knew his attacker when we have that initial report contradicting what the district attorney is blatantly lying to the American people. Look at the videos. Return from this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change.
that time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, before we play the two videos and get John and Danny's comments about both, one is purporting to be David DePap breaking in the window in the back. The other, of course, the cam footage from the officers arriving at the door. Danny, I'd like to invite your comments on any of this most recent discussion.
Sir, I'm going to have a completely different opinion on this thing based on the evidence, based on the physical evidence, and based on what the Democrats are known to do and have done in this sort of situation multiple times. You know, they'll go to any lengths to get a narrative out there to support whatever story they want to tell the American people. So the more I look at this, sir, and I'll look at the videos again with you, but I believe that the police video that they keep showing the public, the reason why they did not show this in the beginning is because they did not have the video. And what I believe is that the video was shot at a later date, at a later time, with the two people that are involved.
Yes.
And I think they just interjected that video later on to go with the story that they concocted.
Yes.
Because the police procedure, the evidence at the scene, and nothing matches with the story. The story changed several times, and the Democrats are very well known at throwing money at a bad situation, and I could easily see them offering the suspect some sort of money to and avoid a prosecution and to go along with the story as well, which obviously any perp would take. The fact that I'd like to point out that, you know, Paul Pelosi's standing there with a drink in his hand, looked like alcohol, the way he's holding it. And he's standing there relaxed, in a relaxed fashion.
Yes.
In his shorts, with no concern that he's standing next to somebody that broke into his house with a hammer. I mean, if anybody has any critical thinking skills left that's listening to us, they're going to know that that is not possible. That, you know, just clear your mind and think about if somebody broke into your current home
Hey everyone, Judicial Watch President.
Keep going. I mistakenly started.
And they broke the glass, and they entered your home through a broken window. Are you going to be calm, with no nerves? Your arms aren't going to be shaking. You won't be out of breath. And there's no emotional drama in Pelosi's voice. There's no emotion in his demeanor as he stands there. Again, there's nothing that fits their action and their reactions that fit the story and the situation that we're told that they're in. Again, I'll say it again, sir. I believe this completely was different. I think the gentleman was invited into the house and something went wrong. You know, whatever that was, whether it was drugs or who knows, alcohol, whatever. They don't like what happened. They control the police there. There was no video. There's no video surveillance video on the spot. It was delayed because they concocted all this with a time delay. There's no date or time stamp. And what they're looking at is a movie that they made to spin the story to make the public believe what they're, the story that they're putting out. And again, I have to point to the evidence. None of it matches. I don't believe any of this story whatsoever, sir. It's a complete fabrication, and they shot the video at a later time. That video I was about ready to see didn't even happen on that day.
Danny, of course I agree with that. That was a point I was making from the beginning. This is a monstrous scam. And now we're going to take a look at the videos, and we'll get further confirmation of the points you're making. Tom Fitton put them up on his Judicial Watch reports. So let me find where Tom introduces the videos.
Tom Fitton here with our weekly update. Thank you, as always, for your vote. Are you in favor of abuse of American citizens or not?
This is talking to
But good news. Swalwell's off the Intelligence Committee, although now he's running for the United States Senate. So he may not even be in the House much longer. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
Here we go.
Next up, there's some big news that's frankly 2 or 3 months too late. They finally released the body cam, police body cam, and other videos of the maniacal attack on Paul Pelosi in his and Nancy Pelosi's home in San Francisco. Now, as you know, and if you've been following this story closely, it happened back in October, November. It's been months since this incident happened. Typically, these types of videos are released quickly. Instead, it's been months. Judicial Watch had asked for records, asked for the videos. We were told they weren't going to be released. Some media organizations ended up going to court, and the court did and enforced the law, as has been previously enforced, and ordered the release of the records. And the records show a terrible attack. And the policy issue, and the first video we'll show while I'm talking, is the U.S. Capitol Police video of the Pelosi attacker breaking in the back of his home. And you'll see the video. You see all the noise the guy's making. And my question is, where was the U.S. Capitol Police? What is the purpose of having a video surveillance like this without alarms or other processes that get protection for the House? And I don't care. There's no excuse that Nancy Pelosi wasn't there. I mean, an attacker isn't going to know that. You just presume the location has to be secured. So to me, this is another security breakdown by the U.S. Capitol Police under Nancy Pelosi's watch. Not that she had that she was trying to get her sort of harm, but look, there's got to be a basic level of security and competence for our elected leadership. And I don't believe in a security state that keeps them away from the American people. But certainly the Speaker of the House should have sufficient security in this day and age. I mean, when you're seeing the video here, how is it that happened? And 30 minutes later, still nothing had been done until Paul Pelosi tried to call 911 and basically, while his life was at risk, try to speak in code to convince the 911 operator he needed help. I'm not going to play that for you. And then the attack happened. And here's the body cam footage. I'm gonna play it for you in its entirety. Before I play it for you, I should warn you. You may not want to watch it. There's a few curse words, which isn't going to necessarily be the end of the world for you. But it's extremely disturbing because it depicts the attack, not graphically, but you see enough of it to be, that you may find it very disturbing. So you may want to just fast forward for a minute and 50 seconds or so. But here's the video of the attack that was released in part due to public pressure by Judicial Watch and media organizations.
Yeah, definitely don't want all of you. I definitely don't want all of you. Hello. Yeah. Like I said, 2620, right?
No, 2640.
Yeah, it literally said that. How you doing?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on, man?
Good.
Hi. Drop the hammer.
Nope.
Hey.
What is going on?
I'm not getting an answer.
Oh, shit. Here, man. Airport 14 Everson, backup code 3.
Code 3,
give me your fucking hand!
Unit code.
Give me your fucking hand!
14
Airport 14 Everson, medics code 3 as well.
So that's pretty horrible, isn't it? And thank heaven that Paul Pelosi is alive.
Let me just say, I completely agree with Danny. These were made after the fact. I disagree with him that there was no original footage. There was original footage. It was just so embarrassing they had to fake it. Now, notice, Danny, there were date time stamps on there, but honest to God, these are fraudulent. I have multiple reasons for believing that. You and John have both been offering your reasons. I'm going to take John first and then go to you. Your comments, John, about what you've just seen here.
Well, now that I've seen it fresh, it appears that they did open the door and there was nobody behind the door because you could see the crack inside that area. So he opens it and steps back. He did have a hammer in his possession, and as soon as the officer saw that, that's when the gun should be coming out. You know, drop the hammer. He should have pulled the gun out simultaneously, if not immediately. After that, the assault occurred, and then they took it off to the right of the area there. Now, let me point out one thing. That not every time that you get these kind of calls, they've got BARDA alarms, they've got voice-activated alarms that go straight to the police department, depending on what it is. Could have gone through a private company, or it could have gone 911, which may or may not respond immediately. But the fact is, we saw previously where he looked like he did break into the facility or the house, crawled in through a space, could have been the glass area or not. Once he's inside, that's other glass, and yet they're showing pictures of glass from the outside on another area. That doesn't make sense either unless somebody went in and you know, broke out the glass in another way. It doesn't make sense. I understand all that. It does have a date stamp, 10/28. It does have a time stamp, but it shows around 9/28. 9 hours, 9 minutes on the new that he tapped. He tapped his body cam to activate it, which means he could have had a certain amount of time on that. Not necessarily that it was 9/28 in the evening or morning, and that call supposedly was after 2 in the morning. To me, it fits because what's going on. But if they're not showing all the tapes, then I would fall into the category of start doubting what they're doing. They're trying to work around it. And the officer showed poor control over the suspect. He didn't get him cuffed up right away. He didn't pull his gun out right away. You know, and that's critical because of my background and training. I would have done it a lot faster, believe me. I could see these things happening real fast. And somehow, if Pelosi had a cup in his hand, look, I'll use this as a prop. If I got a cup, I'm not worried. But maybe something happened to develop to speed up the process, and he's grabbing while he had the cup and he's grabbing for the hammer. You see what I mean? So that means DePap had the hammer and he's trying to get control of it and he sort of forgot to put his cup down. You see what I mean? That's how fast those things can happen. People who aren't trained don't get that. People who aren't police officers don't get that. Civilians. It may be that they're still trying to come up with something else because maybe there is more body cam that we don't know. We haven't seen it. And Judicial Watch, that guy's not trained.
Now, John, bear in mind, Danny and I both believe these are fabricated videos made long after the fact to conceal the real footage, which was just too embarrassing. Danny, pick up. Give us some of your thoughts.
Yeah, you know what, sir? The more I look at it, the more I look at the video, it's fabrication.
Yes.
To fit their narrative.
Yes.
The police didn't act like they would normally act. You know, John's opinion about pulling out the gun, you know, I'm not going to do that. The problem with that is every time you pull out your gun, there's a high chance that you're going to use it. And you got two suspects there. You don't even really know at the point who's who. And you know what? When there's a struggle, you could shoot the wrong person. Too many bad things can happen. You know, if it would have been me, I would have rushed in and just went after the guy with the hammer. You know, especially if I was in my 20s or 30s, I would have just rushed in there. I didn't see a need for a gun. He wasn't pointing the hammer at the police or whatever. The struggle was kind of a weird struggle. It was a struggle between, like, you know, two friends arguing over a deck of cards or something. It wasn't the life or death thing. He was holding a drink in his hand. So that shows his demeanor was sort of relaxed. It wasn't anywhere. He didn't have the demeanor that he was dealing with somebody that broke into his house. He would have been yelling out, "This is a burglar that broke into my house." He would have been yelling out what was going on, you know, things like that. The fact that they opened the door calmly and they were just standing there, you know, and then the hammer struggle kind of went back and forth. And then the cop said, "Hey, put the hammer down." I don't believe any of it. What I believe, sir, is that was all bad acting. It was shot after the fact by a bunch of crisis actors. I don't even know if those were really cops or not. They might be crisis actors. And they put that whole thing together and then put it on the news and said, here's what's happened.
Yes.
Here you go.
Yes.
That's what I believe, sir. That fits the evidence.
Okay? Danny?
That fits the evidence. Shows something different.
Let me explain to you what I take to be decisive proof that you are correct and that both of these videos are fraudulent. Here's from a recent story, and it's having DePap, you know, give his bullshit story. This is just a made-up story. But here's the key paragraph. Paul Pelosi later underwent surgery to repair a skull fracture and serious injuries to his right arm and hands. He has since appeared in public wearing a hat and a glove to cover his wounds. Now, what I believe happened is that Paul Pelosi wanted to fake it. He tried to break out the glass from the inside. He's not very good at it. He's not experienced at doing that. He cut himself badly, but that's why he damaged his hand. Notice that backyard thing is ridiculous. We had the reporter saying there's sensors on all the windows that would have set off alarms. The glass is on the outside. It's not on the inside. The first one is clearly a fabrication. The second, equally so, because Paul Pelosi's arm is not shown all injured. It would have been all bloody and cut up from him breaking out the glass. And the way he's acting there is completely inconsistent with what we have described otherwise. I think this is decisive evidence that we're being played. John, your thoughts.
Obviously, there are facts there that don't make sense. And I'm listening to Dan and his opinion, and he's entitled to his opinion, but I've got much more training than most people. I would have pulled my gun, and I'm a really good shot. That doesn't mean I'm going to shoot him. You know? But if a guy already pulled the hammer away, he has the ability to kill somebody with a hammer. He could have killed Pelosi with a single blow, and you're left standing there trying to rush him or not. That's an opinion. So everybody's entitled. But the thing is, a lot of the other things still don't match up. I believe there may be more body cam information. And if Pelosi did try to go hammer out the glass for some reason, We don't know a lot of the other information. It's only speculation of what we've been given so far.
John, it wasn't even a real hammer. It was this hammer-shaped dildo. I'm telling you, all the evidence has. We even had the hammer you're seeing in this phony video is a bona fide claw hammer. That's not the hammer that they were using when they had their little tryst. But David DePapalos quoted earlier, and I've done a huge amount of reporting on this, that they were having gay sex when they fell into an argument about drugs. But the hammer was this dildo that you can buy on Amazon.com for $95 and change.
So I understand, but there could be two hammers now. So I understand.
I doubt that extremely. And Danny, by the way, look, you have more varied experience with customs and secret service. Danny has 35 years in law enforcement, John. Danny, your further thoughts.
Yeah, me and John are probably going to have a difference of opinion on, you know, what he said about being a good shot and all that. I don't know you, John. I've heard you talk on David Zublick's show. You know, I could one hole a target from, 25 yards. So it has nothing to do with being a good shot. When you pull your weapon, your hands are tied, so you're not going to be able to control a suspect once, you're just going to be left. I'm a distinguished expert,
just to get that out so you understand.
You're going to be left with controlling the subject by, threatening with your firearm rather than getting in there and controlling the hands. Once you pull out the weapon, you can't control the suspect. You have to stay back. You're not going to be able to rush. You're not going to get involved.
Hey, you guys, it's good. I just want to play this little clip. Tucker had a spoof on what was going on that I think is very close to the mark. Check this out.
Stand up and defend. I'm outraged for Nancy Pelosi. This woman has taken the hard-earned money she's made from insider trading and invested in a pair of cans at 82 years old and comes home to find out that her husband's playing hide the hammer with a Black Lives Matter guy. You talk about disrupting the nuclear family. The Black Lives Matter crew must be ecstatic because this guy is doing it, and so is Paul Pelosi. I'm upset for Nancy. She spent her hard-earned money on a pair of and he's not interested.
Well, of course we can't confirm or deny your suggestion, but I must say I did notice that the second people started speculating about what might have really happened, which we are not doing and haven't done, but some have, because in the absence of the body cam video, why wouldn't they? I saw these liberals on Twitter saying it's disgusting that you would suggest there was anything alternative going on. I thought they were defenders of the alternative. When did that become immoral in the eyes of the Democratic Party?
Tucker, I don't want to put you in a tough spot, but I got to correct you again. Are you suggesting that my information, that she spent her money on a pair of cans, are you saying that's bad information? I've seen a lot of evidence. I feel real comfortable. She's trying to entice her husband, but he's interested in playing hide the hammer on a Friday night with some weirdo. I think there's an issue. This is what needs to be investigated. This is the whole end game for Black Lives Matter. Disrupting the nuclear family, start with the Speaker of the House.
Now, let me just say, I think that's got it pretty close to the mark. The big story I wanted us to discuss wasn't even the Paul Pelosi, but what happened in Memphis. And Mitchell, please do kill the break here so we will not be interrupted as we continue our discussion. I think there'll be all hell to pay if the cops who attacked this guy so savagely like a wolf pack had not all been black. If these had been white guys, we'd have the country going up in flames. But they were all black. Listen to the story. Now, this is from RSN, which is a left-wing website. But nevertheless, what they say here seems to be on the mark. I hope they stomp his ass. Memphis police release video of fatal beating of Tyre Nichols. Nichols cried out for his mother as police doused him with pepper spray and brutally punched and kicked him. Tyre Nichols with pepper spray, brutally punched, kicked as a 29-year-old cried out for his mother. Video of the fatal beating revealed. The four videos the city released showed the violent attack on Nichols following a traffic stop on January 7th. The officers who beat him had been charged with murder. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, the Justice Department, the FBI are investigating. Nichols died on January 10th, 3 days later, from his injuries. In the first video, at around the minute mark, an officer is shown pulling out a gun. Another officer yells, "You're going to get your head blown off." Someone else shouts, "Get your ass out of the fucking car." Nichols can be heard saying, "I didn't do anything," as he pulled to the ground. Officers continue yelling at Nichols to get on the ground. Nichols can be heard replying, "Okay, I'm on the ground." Nichols also asks officers to stop and says, "You guys are trying to do a lot right now. I'm just trying to go home." As officers continue to yell and push Nichols onto the ground, he breaks free and starts to run. Officers pursue Nichols on foot, where he's tackled by another Memphis police officer a short distance away. At one point, an officer says, "I hope they stomp his ass." In the second video, released by police, a bull-mounted security camera captured footage of officers struggling with Nichols on a residential street. One officer uses his baton to beat Nichols as he struggles on the sidewalk. When Nichols manages to regain his footing, several of the officers can be seen restraining him, while another repeatedly punches Nichols. At one point, an officer kicks Nichols in the head twice. I believe those were the fatal blows. In the third video, officers can be seen pinning Nichols to the ground, punching him in the face, spraying him with pepper spray. He can be heard crying out for his mother as police kick him and hit him with batons. Nichols is seen lying motionless and unattended on the ground in video four, while officers discuss the traffic stop. In an interview Friday on CNN, Nichols' mother, Roe Vaughn Wells, said that police had knocked on the door on the evening of January 7th and told her son had been arrested for driving under the influence. It shocked her. "My son don't drink like that," she said. They told her they had to pepper spray and tase him to take him into custody and that he was being treated by a paramedic, after which he would be taken to the hospital and then booked. Wells said they asked her if he'd been taking any drugs because they claimed he'd displayed superhuman strength while officers tried to handcuff him. "What they were describing was not my son, so I was very confused," she said. When asked if she could see him, they told her no and would only tell her he was nearby. "I got nothing from them," she said. It wasn't until St. Francis Hospital called her at 4 a.m. and asked, "Why aren't you here?" that she said she knew where to find her son. The doctor told her on the phone that he'd suffered cardiac arrest and kidney failure. "This doesn't sound consistent with somebody being tased or pepper sprayed," she said. The Memphis Police Department did not respond to a request for comment on Wells' description of the officer's behavior that night. Sitting beside Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells, Roe Vaughn described arriving at the hospital and seeing her son. They had beat him to a pulp. He had bruises all over him. His head was swollen like a watermelon. His neck was bursting because of the swelling. They broke his neck. "My son's nose looked like an S. They actually just beat the crap out of him. When I saw that, I knew my son was gone." 2 days later, 3 days after the beating on January 10th, he succumbed to his injuries. While Nichols' family hopes for justice in his killing, loved ones are also remembering for the life he lived, which included passions and hobbies beyond the headlines about his killing. One of his favorite was skateboarding, which he reportedly did from the time he was 6 years old. In a 2010 YouTube skate video of Nichols spreading on social media, he looks at home on the board, landing 360-degree flips, smoothly linking multiple tricks together. One friend told the Memphis newspaper the commercial appeal: skating gave him wings. Here we have one report about it, and then we'll look at another.
Police in the U.S. city of Memphis, Tennessee, have released body cam footage of a fatal confrontation between officers and Tyree Nichols. A warning to our viewers, there are graphic images. We have decided not to show the most violent parts of the video. The footage shows police making the traffic stop, detaining Nichols and tasering him. When Nichols runs away, the officers want to track him down and continue beating him. The 29-year-old motorist died in hospital 3 days later. The five officers have since been fired and charged with second-degree murder.
Four videos showing how Memphis police officers tasered, pepper sprayed, and restrained Terry Nichols.
Mom!
The 29-year-old was arrested after a traffic violation near his home on January 7th. He died from his injuries 3 days later. The five police officers involved in the fatal confrontation have been fired and charged with second-degree murder, a crime punishable with 15 to 60 years in prison under Tennessee law.
We can't substantiate the reason for the stop. All we know is that the amount of force that was applied in this situation was over the top.
Nichols' death is the latest high-profile case of police officers accused of using excessive force in the deaths of black people and other minorities in recent years. It has sparked public outcry against systemic racism in the U.S. criminal justice system. U.S. President Joe Biden says he will urge Congress to pass federal police reforms.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
It has a lot to do with whether or not we are the country we say we are, that we're a country of law and order and means by which we can peacefully protest and let the courts make the judgment.
As Memphis is bracing for public outrage, Nichols' family has also called for peaceful protests.
Let's get more from our correspondent, Stefan Siemens, in Washington, D.C. Stefan, what stands out to you in this video?
Well, in the part which we're showing in the traffic arrest, what stands out the most is how charged, how amped up, how aggressive those police officers were. Remember, this is a traffic stop. Just imagine you drive down the street and some cars pop up next to you and somebody storms out at you with a gun, pulls you out of the car because of allegedly reckless driving. They can't even prove yet what that reckless driving was. So there was a lot of aggression in those police officers. That's clear. Second thing, which of course is evident here, the brutality, the utter disregard for human life. Terry Nichols was hit into the head, kicked into the head numerous times, beaten with a baton, with fist hooks. I mean, that is absolutely the most unprofessional police traffic stop behavior I've ever seen, ever seen. It wasn't, and I have seen my fair share of unpleasant things like that, but that is that crowns it all.
Here's another report where you can see the violence of the second video.
Out of that breaking news out of Memphis, where police have just released video of the beating of a man who died as police tried to take him into custody.
KTV's Christian Captain has been looking out over that video and joins us now live from the newsroom. Christian, we know that this video is graphic. In fact, officials who had previously seen the footage called it appalling. Tell us more about what it shows.
Yeah, certainly appalling, shocking. There are lots of words that you can use to describe this. That is exactly what we heard from Tyree Nichols' family and from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation in anticipation of this video being released. And as expected, the video shows the brutal encounter as five Memphis police officers were trying to take Tyree Nichols into custody. And we want to warn viewers that the video is graphic. Now, the video that we are showing you first is a video at the second scene. This is after Nichols was initially pulled over. And in that video, you can see he was already on the ground after he was pulled over at that other location. The officers in the video repeatedly punch and kick Nichols over and over again in the video. At one point, you can see they stand him up, they hold his hands behind his back and begin punching and hitting him and wrestle him down to the ground again. At various points in time in the video, they also kick him. Now, body-worn camera of the same incident, we're able to actually hear what the officers are saying in that very scene that you were watching right there. Those officers repeatedly order Nichols to, quote, give them their hands. They pepper spray him, punch him, and kick him over and over again, wrestling his hands behind his back. Now, in an earlier video, we saw police initially pull over Nichols. You can see in body cam video on that. We are reviewing that video right now where they pulled Nichols over, and within seconds, they draw firearms and begin shouting at him to get out of his car and lie on the ground. At that initial scene, numerous officers wrestle him to the ground. At one point, Nichols says to the officers, "I am on the ground, and man, you guys are doing a lot." The officers then threaten to tase him, and at some point, Nichols breaks free and runs away from those five officers. One of the officers at that initial scene fires his taser at him. It's unclear if he strikes Nichols, who has broken away. The officers' demeanor change as they radio for backup and then discuss amongst themselves how Nichols got away. All of that, again, happening on the first 2 minutes of that body cam video. Now, we did hear from Nichols' mother earlier, who had asked for peace. As people see this video, she says that she knows it's going to be difficult to watch and that she did not watch it herself, but she is asking for justice for her son as people review this video for the first time.
Let me say, this is really, truly vicious, pack behavior, disgusting beyond words. John, your thoughts about both videos, the stop, the hauling him out, yeah, all that, and then the second, where they're...
Yeah, I've seen
him. Yeah.
I've seen him before. And I hate to tell you, because I have to go to another appointment, so I was going to cut off right after this. My background in training, I've made arrests before. The whole case is messed up. The way these people made the contact, they're part of a Scorpion unit, which is like a special gang unit. We don't know why they stopped him. They could have stopped him just because he was a suspect at 2 in the morning. Doesn't matter. They stopped him. Once they pulled him out, they're responsible for getting him cuffed up. They fouled up on that. At one point, after all this beating, ADW shod foot, when you kick a person on the ground, that's a Chris Dorner case was another one. I've reviewed cases like this for years. They committed felonies. They did excessive force. At one point, they actually got one cuff on a wrist. Okay, in fact, I was doing a show this morning demonstrating, here's the cuffs and how to put them on. It's real simple. You put it on the tendon in the wrist. It goes on that quick. They didn't do it. They failed to use any kind of martial arts training that they're supposed to be given in the academy. A lot of these guys don't have a black belt. I do, because I've used it for years, especially at the border. But the problem is, they had one cuff on towards the end. That's it. You cuff him up. You don't hit a guy that's on the ground. You don't mace him, hit him with a baton. At one point, you can actually see him do the collapsible baton where he extended it. He flips his arm out to extend it, walks over and hits him. Excessive force, he ultimately dies. As far as I'm concerned, each person that was involved in that is going to be involved in a murder case. And if they determine which one specifically hit him with a baton, did the mace, did the tasing, and had control with the cuffs, whose cuffs were on him at one point, they're going to be held responsible, and I hope they pay the penalty. That is not the training that is taught in police academies at the federal, state, and local level, and I've had all that training. I'm a black belt myself. I've taught classes in self-defense. It's outrageous what I just saw, and I've seen it before. You know, and then the media is trying to play it up. You know, this is really graphic, this is really bad, and all this. That's sensationalism.
Imagine those cops had been white, John. The whole country would be going up in flames.
I know about the Rodney King incident and all those things.
Sure.
Those guys got off on the Rodney King incident, and that was wrong.
Yes.
I mean? So
yes, I've
seen these things for years. I know these things inside out. You look at the details, what should have happened, and how they handled it.
John, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. I know you have an appointment. I'm really glad you could be here, my friend. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Danny, you've been doing a whole lot of research on this. I know you have a whole lot to say. I was kind of surprised John didn't recognize those videos from the Pelosi to be fabrications. There's no question whatsoever in my mind. Those are both fabrications and long after the fact to conform to the Democrat narrative. I think you nailed it 100%. And that my proof about the damage done to his right hand is decisive.
Well, sir, I was worried we were going to run out of time. We got a lot to talk about. And
yes.
I kind of wish John was still on here because, you know, me and him just have a complete difference of opinion on a lot of this stuff. Because I have past experience on many of these different events that, you know, we've done. So I'd like to, can I start at the very beginning of this? I'm just going to walk everybody through the timeline. So
100%.
Here's some of the stuff I'd like people to think about, okay? So if everybody could just kind of clear their mind and just think about this. So during the initial traffic stop, one of the things that bothers me is he was stopped by another unit. So the guy that we see with the body camera that runs up to the car and opens the door and gets him out of the car, you know, the guy throwing all the cuss words out and stuff, he's what would be called the secondary unit. So the primary unit is the one that actually stopped him. So the primary unit would be at the door controlling the suspect, working with the suspect. And the guy that got out of the car with the body camera running would be the secondary unit. So he would be there to back up. But what we see is actually the car stop has already happened. And it's like everybody is frozen in time until this guy pulls up with his camera rolling. And then he comes up to the door and then takes over. He's not a sergeant. He's not a supervisor. He's coming in after the fact. So they already have the stop going on. And this guy comes out with his body camera running. And it's already on his car when he stops. And then he gets out and he runs up and grabs the suspect and throws him on the ground, throws him out of the door, pulls him out, forces him out, cuss, and then puts him on the ground, tells him, you know, put your hands behind your back. Okay, that's great. Nothing wrong there. The next part is I see that he's pepper sprayed. Okay, so I'd like everybody to understand that when you get hit with pepper spray burns so hot, it's way worse than mace, but 10 times worse than mace, if not more than that. It burns so hot, and it often you can't even breathe once you get hit with pepper spray. He was hit a couple of times in that video at very close range with pepper spray. So he took a direct blow right to the face, to the nose, to the ears, to the eyes with the pepper spray. So as soon as that happens, okay, your eyes completely slam shut. You can't see at all. I mean, absolute zero visibility. There's a burning sensation that takes over that's just, it's uncontrollable pain when you get hit with pepper spray. And also many people have a hard time breathing. And what's really weird is this suspect, ever he gets hit with a pepper spray like that, they don't cuff him, which is very strange. They allow all this talking to go on, this I ain't done nothing kind of business and all this. And keep in mind, there's several guys standing around that could have, you know, jumped on the ground and physically controlled him. You know, everybody grab an arm, whatever, to get the cuffs on him. But they don't do that. They kind of allow this banter to take place. And then all of a sudden, the suspect just surprisingly stands up with like a twisting motion and gets up and runs off into a clear direction in between the cars down the street. Now, the first thing I'd like to say is, how could the suspect even see, sir? Because he got a direct blast of pepper spray. He would not be able to see to run down the street. He would be effectively blind at that point and not be able to see anything. Okay? Nothing. But yet he runs off down the street with a cop chasing him. You can see the body cameras. And this guy can see where he's running. He's running fine. He's not screaming in pain. That's just not conducive to somebody that just took a direct blast with a pepper spray. Okay, people don't act like that. I could show you tons of videos of people getting hit with pepper spray where they go down on the ground. They're just done. They're out of the fight. It's over with. So something is definitely wrong there. Okay, again, he wasn't the primary. He showed up after the fact as what's called the secondary unit, but then he took over the primary control of the suspect. Again, it was like the scene was waiting for him to pull up, and then he got up and said, okay, I'm going to take over now, and then open up the door and control the suspect. That would have been done by the primary unit that was already there, and he would have just been there to assist. So something, the scene didn't look right there. They also said they stopped him for reckless driving, and that's all we have. We don't have anything between, you know, an accident. You know, the chief doesn't even know herself. She's just like, you know, she said she didn't even know the cause of the stop, which I thought was really interesting that she didn't know all the details, because she can go back and listen to the radio calls and everything, and she would know exactly what happened and what the cause was. So for her to say that she did not know what was going on, that's complete ridiculous. There's just no way that's possible. She could have found out easily by reviewing, and interviewing everybody, and also by listening to the radio calls ahead of time. So there's something wrong there, okay? Now, when we move forward, okay, we see that next scene where they're on that street corner with a kind of a, you know, kind of a light that's on, a street light, and we see that camera.
Now, the video that we're showing you now, body worn.
Yeah, go ahead, Danny. I just wanted to get the image up.
What I'd like to say there is, you know, it's awful convenient. Now, I'd like everybody to think about this. We had good body camera footage of scene number one during the traffic stop, right? We had at least one camera on. Now we have no body cameras, okay? So what happened to the body cameras? We got 4, 5, 6 guys at one point, maybe more, standing around there, all have body cameras, but we have no body camera footage whatsoever in the scene two. And I find that very strange. Where is the body camera footage for this scene that we see on the screen where they ultimately catch this guy? Now, I'd also like to point out that this camera is conveniently located right on top of them. And at one point, if you watch the video, you'll see the camera actually rotate to the right a little bit, and it kind of centers the shot if you watch closely. So somebody is manipulating this camera on a tripod, because if it's frozen, and it, you know, it just moves mechanically and then it freezes. But again, we're watching this through this camera, but we have no body camera footage whatsoever, none. And I find that very, very suspicious. Why is it that this scene happened to happen right there on that corner with this camera? I mean, if it would have happened 100 feet down the street, either direction to the left or the right, we'd have no camera footage except for body cam footage. But it happened to happen right on this corner with this camera and no body camera footage. I find that highly, highly suspicious. And I'm going to keep saying it. Where's the body cam footage? We watch this fight take place on the ground between the suspect, and we see at one point the suspect actually is handcuffed. So they did get the cuffs on him. Okay, so John was talking about, you know, cuffing methods and all that, you know, and I think that's kind of irrelevant, but there is a definite way that everybody's trained to put on handcuffs, but they should have just cuffed him and left it. The big problem, sir, with this whole situation is the camera is one of them. How come we can't see with this mysterious camera that's on the corner? How come we can't see the suspect run into the shot? So what we should see is nothing. Then the first thing we should see is the suspect. We should see a police pull up, and then another guy. We should see the fight, the initial fight start. We should see all this stuff, but we don't see that. So this video right here of this camera has been edited. We're missing a bunch of footage that should be there in the front. We should see the initial suspect show up. There's other things that happened before we just get right into the fight on the ground with everybody showing up there. So somebody edited that footage on this camera, and I have a big problem with that. Why can't I see the whole entire thing from the very first frame when the suspect came into view? Okay, it was edited. Something's wrong with that. They didn't want us to see something. Something's going on. I want to see the full unedited version. We can't see that. I'm going to call to your attention again. There's no body camera footage. Everybody has a body camera footage. Why can't we see any body camera footage at all of all this going on in this scene? We can see nothing. All we have is the body cam footage from the other scene, but we don't have any from this scene. Did they all of a sudden turn their body cameras off, all of them? You know, doesn't make any sense to me. Where they really blow it, sir, and it's really blatant, okay, is when they cuff the suspect, okay, after the fight, and he's clearly handcuffed. You can see the cuffs. And they strike the suspect over and over again when he's on his feet. He's offering no resistance. He's not kicking. He's not doing anything to cause any damage. Okay? He appears to be cooperating. They stand him up. And there's one officer that's just turning him from the side and wailing on his face, punching him closed fist over and over in the face. Okay? So that is such a blatant grievance. I mean, I don't know how to describe, sir, how blatant felonious of behavior that is. And any of those cops standing around watching that, that were party to that, that didn't try to intervene, stop, put the suspect on the ground, try to shield him, do something from that. I mean, that's almost as blatant as if one of those officers would have tried to pull out his gun and shoot the guy after the fact when he's cuffed. You just don't hit suspects like that after they're cuffed. The fight's over. It's kind of like in boxing when the bell goes off. You don't go over to the other corner and smash a chair over the guy's head after the bell goes off. I mean, once the handcuffs are on, and this is drowned in your head day by day, well before you get on the street. I mean, you just don't do it. It's a blatant violation, yet all four or five of these guys are involved in this activity of holding him, punching him after the fact, sir. And I just, you know, they got to know that with every punch, they're going to prison, and they're going to lose their job, lose whatever pension they're getting, and they're going to go to jail.
Daddy, I'm forming the impression that you may believe aspects of this are just as contrived as we had with the Pelosi videos. And I know you've done research on these five black cops. We have about 6 minutes left for you to lay it out.
All right, sir. Well, we'll probably have to do a follow-up show on this. But, you know, I'm just telling you, cops wouldn't do this. They know that each one of them has a body camera. Has a body cam on them, and they know they're going to get caught. How could they trust that not one of those guys' camera is not on? It's just ridiculous. They would never do anything like this, okay? There's no way all five of them would be involved in something like this. But at the end of all of this, what really bothered me is I wanted to do some background on the department, on the people involved, and all that. So I went ahead and ran the background of all these officers, okay? And that is what really puzzled me. And I'm going to tell you, I think I told you the other day, but I'll tell you what I found. The problem of what I found is I found nothing. I found nothing. I couldn't find anything on these five guys even exist. Like, they weren't born. And I know that sounds really strange to your listeners, but I have extensive database access to many databases. And I can see everybody, okay? And these guys, I would be able to find their profiles, find their credentials, you know, find their police credentials, find a lot of things about them. But yet when I ran them through the database in Tennessee, none of these guys came up. I found a few of the names, there's no doubt, but the ages were wrong, and we ID'd them, and it's not the same guy. The age, again, was wrong. They lived in the wrong area, you know, but the ones that we caught that lived in any of the towns around there, none of them existed. And I mean on all five guys. And that's a virtual impossibility, sir. Every time I run a background and search for one of these cops and any other incident, they always come up. I can see everything about them, from their background to their Leo credential to their education, to the cars they drive. I mean, you know, just everything. Okay? And these guys come up as a complete ghost. I mean, they literally do not exist. I can't find one single shred that they work at that department, that they've ever worked in police work, or that they even exist. I could not find these gentlemen at all. And that is highly troubling. So what I did is I cross-referenced it, and I checked out the chief of police. And immediately, sir, I'd like to point out the chief's background came right up. And I could see everything about her. She worked in Atlanta. Then she got hired on and moved over to Memphis. I could see what kind of car she drives. I could see her husband. You know, everything about them. And her background came right up immediately. No problem. But these five guys that were involved in this incident, not only did they act not like police officers, they don't come up on any kind of an electronic search like they come up as ghosts. And I'm highly suspicious, sir, after watching this video of this entire event. These guys didn't act like police officers. They act more like street thugs dressed in police uniforms. They broke every police procedure known to man, from the beginning of the traffic stop to the end to where they beat the cuffed guy. And to me, sir, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This has the makings of a George Floyd event to me. I don't believe any of it. I believe that this whole thing was filmed something's going on. Something happened that we're not being told, sir. But it, there's something highly suspicious going on with this event.
Danny, I think that's sensational stuff. And yes, I think we should do a follow-up. Let's tentatively plan to do it Wednesday already, 2 days hence, my very next show here on Revolution Radio. I think you and John have made just superb contributions today. And it looks to me like we're just being played, like there's so much bullshit going on there. I mean, it's just story after story after story is fabricated, lines, liar, liar, pants on fire. The Democrats are lying out of both ends. It's just disgusting, Danny, disgusting. And I dare say, again, if it hadn't been these five guys were black, we'd probably have these Antifa BLM riots. They'd be burning down buildings. They'd be looting. They'd be rioting. And the Biden administration, Department of Justice, the FBI would be doing nothing about it. They let the whole summer of love take place when cities all across the nation were going up in flames. Nothing was done to rein it in. Danny, it's all disgusting. Your final thoughts.
Something is not what we're being told, sir. This looks like a story that was concocted as a distraction to change the subject, maybe off of, you know, other events that are taking place. You know, you name it. There's a whole handful of events.
Maybe even Pelosi. Maybe even the Pelosi business.
Or the Ukraine thing. Or I mean, there's so many things that are going on right now that they don't would like us not to focus on. And to me, this is just a change the subject event that was launched. And because none of the facts match up, it's really troubling that the officers don't show up in any kind of a search. There's just a bunch of anomalies, sir, that don't fit. From the body cameras, all the police procedures were broken. These guys didn't even act like cops. They didn't act like police, sir, at the initial traffic stop. And they certainly didn't act like police wrestling with this guy, trying to cuff him, hitting him after he was cuffed. The pepper spray doesn't make sense where they sprayed him in the face, but yet he wasn't affected by the pepper spray. You can see clearly what ran down the street. None of the evidence fits. The camera's wrong, and again, the body cameras are missing from the lights. This whole thing, sir.
Great. Great job, Danny. I'm gonna bring you back and invite John again on Wednesday. I can't thank you enough. Everyone out there, you pay attention to this one. This is a doozy. Check out the video version of my YouTube channel, Jim Fetzer. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and